When I received my invitation to come here today, I was invited to talk to you about tolerance and our claim to the one true church. I went to the dictionary last night to look up the word tolerance and discovered that it was the quality or state of being tolerant. And then when I looked up the word tolerant, it said it was to tolerate. So then I went to the word tolerate and found out that it meant to put up with something. I suppose applied to religion and applied to the churches of the world, it means then that we would put up with the other churches without trying to level any prohibitions or restrictions upon them. And then I went to the Articles of Faith, and I read there the best definition that I have ever read of religious tolerance. We claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience, and allow all men the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. As I have thought about this, I have been convinced in my mind that it all comes back to the principle of free agency. It comes back to the principles involved in the Bill of Rights. It comes back to the idea that we're going to be fair and square with everybody and give to them the rights and privileges which we claim for ourselves. We will not interfere with them in what they wish to do, but we will not allow them to interfere with us in what we wish to do. I think that the Lord was very tolerant. You remember that he said that we were to love our neighbors as ourselves. He gave us the golden rule, saying, "All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." And he said that he sent his rain upon the just and the unjust. And he further said that he sent his Spirit into the world, and that it enlighteneth every man. Surely the Lord is tolerant. And when he was on the earth, he tolerated the various sects of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes, and I suppose there were many other groups. He tolerated them and let them feel and think and believe as they wished. So far as he was concerned, he believed in free agency, and every man could think and do and believe as he liked. Every man could worship as he pleased. That is fundamental in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why it is such an important tenet of our faith and has been written into our articles of faith. When you think about tolerance, you also think about intolerance. And you think about being narrow-minded, and you think about being broad-minded. I think that there is probably more danger in some of our views pertaining to narrow-mindedness and broad-mindedness than in our conception of tolerance and intolerance. Because in this day we have given a new connotation to the expression narrow-mindedness or broad-mindedness. Some people think we are narrow-minded just because we hold to the truth. Some people think we are narrow-minded because we hold to facts. Some people, if we were to apply it mathematically, would think you were being narrow-minded because you would say 2 and 2 are 4 instead of that 2 and 2 might be 5. And they think you are not broad-minded unless you go all the way over to them and their thinking. If you stand on your own feet and stand by your own standards, many people think you're narrow-minded. They think you are not broad-minded unless you surrender your feelings and your standards and your views and your faith. And in the name of being broad-minded, they ask you to surrender. That goes for many fields of life. How broad-minded or how narrow-minded was the Savior? How broad-minded or how narrow-minded can we be in our church? You remember that the prophet Joseph Smith went out into the woods to pray, and that he had this glorious visitation of the Father and the Son. You recall that he said, "My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself so as to be able to speak, then I asked the personages who stood above me in the light, which of all the sects was right, and which I should join. I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof." We Latter-day Saints have been accused of being narrow-minded because we stand by that pronouncement given by the Savior to the prophet Joseph Smith there in the sacred grove. Is it narrow-minded to say that there is only one true church in the world? Is it narrow-minded to say that you can get salvation only in one way? Must you be broad-minded to the point where you are willing to accept all the creeds, confusing and contradictory as they are? Again, I ask you, how broad-minded or how narrow-minded was the Savior? The Savior was the Creator. He made all things. He gave to us the gospel, which is the pure law of liberty. It provides, as we have said, for free agency. The Savior sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. He allows men to worship images if they like, or worship the sun, or worship the Nile River, or worship the moon, or worship anything they please. He's that broad-minded in that he allows them all freedom to do as they like. But he is in this position, that if we are going to follow him, then there's only one way, there's only one church, there's only one religion, there's only one priesthood. You remember that he said, "I am the door." And you remember that he said also that if anyone tried to climb up into the sheepfold any other way except through that door, he would be accounted as a thief and a robber. He said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." And you remember that Paul taught, "There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." And you remember also that he taught that the name of Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. Now, is Jesus narrow-minded in saying that there is salvation only through him, that he is the door to the sheepfold, and that if you try to get in any other way, it will be accounted as though you were a thief and a robber? Is Paul narrow-minded when he says there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism? Was the Savior narrow-minded when he spoke to the prophet Joseph Smith and said that all the creeds of the world were man-made, that they were abominable in his sight, and that these men who followed them and taught them merely made professions, and that their hearts were far from him. Are you, young Latter-day Saints, narrow-minded or intolerant because you say that there is only one true church and you belong to it? There is only one true church. It is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We are not intolerant when we make that statement. We merely follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. We are not intolerant in that we do not interfere with the religious views or the religious practices of anybody else. We do not persecute anybody else because of their religious ideas, and that is the expression of intolerance. We are tolerant in that we allow all men to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. But we insist also that we be allowed that same privilege, and that we understand thoroughly that if we are going to be saved, there is only one way in which to be saved. There's nothing intolerant about that. If I were to come here to this school and obtain a degree, there's only one way I could get it, and that would be by following the prescribed course. If I were going to try to manufacture water, for instance, out of the basic elements, there's only one way I could do it, and that would be by combining hydrogen and oxygen, and then I would be limited because I would have to put only one portion of oxygen with two portions of hydrogen, otherwise I wouldn't get water. Is there anything intolerant about that? Is there anything intolerant or narrow-minded about saying that the only way I could ever manufacture table salt would be to combine the two basic elements, sodium and chloride? The Savior tells us that we are sometime to become like God. He gives us a way of life by which we may develop God-like characteristics and thereby become like God. And there's only one course to pursue in becoming like God, and that's the one that the Savior has given us. And he has again declared, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life." Therefore, there is no intolerance in the position we take, any more than there is intolerance in your school saying that they will not give you a degree unless you follow the prescribed course. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the way to salvation. You may please others all you like by patting them on the back and saying they're fine, but unless all mankind come to the faith of Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved, neither can they ever become like God is, because there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that is my testimony to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.